Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu. This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go so in. And a girl with a friend, you be both win.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sexy Unique Podcast. I'm Lara, your host, and I'm here with friend of the pod and fellow us head, Alan Morse.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Lara.
We were having a really deep conversation about us.
The film. Not us, like our
us
relationship.
Like,
but if you're like an us head.
We were getting real. Like she's so into me and her being together right now.
I am, but that's not the kind of us head.
No.
That I am.
You're an us head in the sense of you watched the Jordan Peele
movie, as did I,
and we were just like getting really deep about it.
Getting chills,
full body chills.
I fucking loved it. I thought it was great. I thought, yeah, it's not as airtight as Get Out, but if you didn't like it for that reason, you can suck a dick.
Yeah, suck a dick, Dodie style, and maybe go see it again.
Go see it again!
And realize that like people can make a different movie that has nothing to do with the first movie that they made.
And don't be like pissed that it doesn't have like the allegory that like Get Out had.
Yeah.
Because that's not what it's about.
Suck a dick and get over it.
Suck a dick, get over it. Lupita Nyong'o is the best actor of all time.
Lupita is the queen of acting.
I have not known.
I thought I knew what acting was. Same. And what it meant. And then Lupita redefined it.
Same. We were just saying we had trouble sleeping. Like I went home and I was like scared.
Lupita is my number one celebrity.
Like, at this point, yeah.
If I saw her, I would not be able to handle it myself.
I actually might be scared at this point. Like, I might actually be not wanting to do
freaked out, but
it.
Also, like, so starstruck.
It's really good, guys. You have to go see it.
You have to go see it.
You have to go fucking see it.
Side note, remember when Lupita had that lip balm at the Oscars?
No.
When she won an Oscar for
12 Years a Slave,
there was like this whole moment where she had like lip balm in her purse.
Kind of.
And then everyone made a huge deal out of it. And I got the lip balm. I was like, I gotta have it. And then
I'm like laughing, but I'm like, send me the name of that lip balm.
No, I was
I'm
remembering
when I get home.
Like during the movie I was watching, I was like, God, she has really been on the scene ever since that lip balm at the Oscars. Like, she has
just
been doing
it to us. But you want to know something crazy? She, I didn't know this. I think my brother pointed this out to me. This was her first starring role in anything.
Chic.
Can you believe that?
She was in Black Panther, though.
She wasn't a star.
No.
12 Years a Slave, not a star.
Yeah.
She did a voice in Star Wars.
What can't she do? Nothing.
I just think she should now be in every movie ever made, yeah. Especially every scary movie, because damn, Daniel.
Damn, Daniel. Where like, did you get so scary?
She was really, really scary. No spoilers. But if you've seen the trailer or even the fucking billboard, you know she's scary. So yeah, that's not spoiling anything.
She is a freak off the leash.
She's a freak off the leash. At this point, the movie will have been out for like a week, and if you haven't seen it already, I guess you don't support film.
Yeah.
And I know this is a podcast for geniuses, so like I would assume that
I think that
you know
lots
a good movie
of
when you see it.
You need to see it also because we were like sidebarring and being like, what are the Vanderpump? I had a hard time wrapping my head around. Okay, if there might be some spoilers right now, so just fast forward.
You're about to like literally talk about the end of the movie. So
if you need to fast forward like 5 minutes when we get through this, if you really like want to go in just like pure raw dog with nothing, then
respect.
That's your journey. Respect. I'm not going to give away any of the, like major plot points, but we're definitely going to talk about some like Vanderpump
hint.
Behavior. Okay, so if you need to fast forward, do that now.
No.
Okay. Like, I was wondering if the Vanderpumpers have altars, but I feel like they're so awful. Like, how, like, the thought of their altars, like, coming up from the depths is actually more
terrifying.
Could be
like a reversal, and like, their altars are actually like really good people.
Yeah, their altars
That's the
are
potential.
Like sweeties.
I just thought watching this episode, there's a moment where Kristen puts on makeup in a way that was like,
oh my God, I know exactly.
When she was like putting on mascara.
When
like,
she's standing there.
Like this.
And she's.
I know you can't see because this is a podcast, but I'll try and get a screenshot of it and post it. Because she was putting on makeup in a way where I was like, no human being who's been here since birth would ever put on makeup like that. And I'm not like a makeup person. I'm not like, I'm no Olivia Jade. but like, I know enough to know that like that's not how you put on makeup.
No.
And I was so drawn in by the way she was doing it because it was so weird. I was like, oh, you for sure entered Earth's surface when you were like a child and had to learn how to be a human. And you're still not fully aware of like how to do normal things.
Yeah. I was like, why are you standing there and not sitting doing your makeup? Like standing at like a 90 degree angle.
Standing at an angle and like tilted over from the waist.
It was a freaky
moment. It was really fucking weird and unsettling. And I was like, that's some tethered behavior.
Yeah.
Like, that was like, that's what I thought for sure.
Dodie is her.
She's, if there's one person who did like a Lupita style switch,
mm-hmm.
It's Dodie.
Yeah, it's full Dodie.
Like, there's no question in my mind.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I don't know. Maybe
Jax
not.
Jax could. No, his
he's
I can like
too
I can picture what his tether looks like, and that's actually so
and that's
terrifying.
So much scarier, yeah. And that's probably like who he is.
Yeah,
he's still underground.
They would just like be friends.
Oh yeah, if Jax met his tether, he'd be like,
he'd
"What's
be like,
up,
hell yeah, dude?
Hell yeah, want to do some fucking coke?"
Schwartz might have gotten taken and swapped because he's looked
he's
like
so
a tether
traumatized.
This season.
He does. If you look at him through the lens of like just someone who has experienced a trauma that is like beyond anything we understand and is just trying to like move on with his life,
yeah,
then that actually could be possible.
Yeah, I think like his
or he at least saw the underground.
Mm-hmm. He's gray in the face
and has never been the same.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that necessarily that's his tether, but he knows. Because he's seen it.
Yeah. I think Katie's tether would actually be terrified of Katie.
Yeah.
Like, it would be the reversal.
Katie's tether would be like, I'm going to go back.
Yeah. I like, actually...
If this is what your life is like, yeah. Like, I actually
She's like,
don't.
Abort.
She's like,
I'm chill down below. It's all good.
No,
yeah.
Thank you. Bye.
And then just would turn around and like...
You're like, I think I have more fun
go
eating
away.
Rabbits underground.
Yeah.
This might be a better life for me.
this makes sense. This feels
like
right.
This is like simple. I don't have any like antagonistic relationships with anybody down here. Like, we all just kind of like run around in fast synchronized circles in a room together. And like, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that works for me.
Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what I always say. So gotta go
back down the escalator.
Yeah. Like, no tethereds would actually try and kill Katie because she would just be so terrifying.
It would literally be like the chain. It would be like the Hands Across America, except for the Vanderpump cast, who all saw what the lives were like. And they were like, you know what?
We're out of here.
I'm happier down there.
Yeah.
Especially now, it's going to be so like, there's gonna be no crowds down there. Mm-hmm. Everyone's up here, so we're just gonna have like all the space to ourselves.
They're like, you guys do you. We're
laugh,
do
love.
Us. Jax's tether stays. They're like, we're bros. They like, they're, like, are going to Sweat Garage together.
For sure.
Yeah.
He and like Brittany's like talking about all the flowers she wants for the engagement party, and they're both like, wildflowers. That's fucking gay.
They look dead. They look dead.
They're fucking dead, and they like high five.
Brittany's tether is like tethered to Jax.
Oh, Brittany could actually also be another one whose tether is here with us.
Yeah.
Because she's so like, she just overdoes it in a way where like, I just feel like I've been noticing Brittany. She didn't really do it this episode, but like, for many episodes recently, there's like five moments of her being like, oh my God, look at that cute little pink horsey. Or like, yeah. Oh my God, this reminds me of cotton candy. Or like, oh my God, I love rainbows. And it's just like, dude, you have to tone it down.
Yeah.
Like,
she's discovering things for like the first time.
And she's laying on her like cute, sweet, innocent Southern shit so thick in a way where I'm like, you are not this charmed.
No.
By all of these things. You're just not. And so it's actually possible maybe that Brittany's
from the other side.
Because she's like, oh, maybe if I'm overly like sincere, mm-hmm. and like
people sweet will buy cutie, into it.
People will be like, oh, I've been here the whole time.
Yeah. Brittany also needs to understand that Jessica Simpson did it first.
Whoa.
And did it the best.
Yeah.
So like, get a new act.
Get a new act.
Get a new shtick.
Even Jessica Simpson is like charmingly cynical now.
Yeah. It didn't
work
out that well for her.
It did not work out very well for her. She had to do like a full rebrand.
Yeah.
Which I'm really into, by the way.
I'm into her whole life.
I love it.
She's a literal billionaire.
I need Brittany to just like, I guess what I need Brittany to do is just be like, to come out and be like, yes, I am a scammer. I knew what I was getting into this whole time.
Keep it real.
This is a business relationship that I have with this person. I don't actually believe that this person is like my life partner or that they're not fucking cheating on me. I'm not an idiot.
Yeah. Or just be like, look, Jax is going to do what Jax is going to do. I want the ring and I want to get married. And I want to have a nice life.
And I don't care about cute little pretty pink ponies.
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I just want you to think that I'm
a sweetie.
A cutie.
Yeah.
I'm not. That's what I want.
I just need honesty.
I just need honesty.
Ken
radical
is
honesty.
His tether. That like came out a long time ago, but like it just went completely unnoticed.
And Lisa knows, I think. I think Lisa might have like met him knowing he was a tether and was just
love
like
that. She's like, that works power for move, me. Darling.
It just like works.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
Because he's always in like the background now.
Yeah, he's always just kind of like looking a little close to death.
Mm-hmm. Ken's getting old.
I mean,
his age online is like,
he's probably like 42.
Yeah, it's like a lie, but
like,
I think
it's just not.
He's like,
no, he's getting there.
Yeah,
he's getting up there, but he'll be fine. He'll be fine.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be fine.
I can't think about a world without Ken Todd in it.
No, I'm like, we're already watching Lisa mourn her brother. Like, I can't watch a season of Beverly Hills that's her like mourning Ken.
No, that's too dark.
I can't do
that. Too sad. Yeah.
That doesn't work for me, so I Mm-mm. hope you don't die, Ken.
Mm-mm.
Dang.
Okay, so now you can tune back in if you'd fast forward.
Yeah, after we'll try and get timestamps on that.
Yeah.
So that maybe we can put it in the description so you know, like, do not listen from here to here if you do not want us spoilers.
Yeah, that's a nice thing to do.
We were like, we're not really going to spoil
anything. And then, like, we fully spoiled
and
it.
And literally talk about, like, the end, basically.
Yeah.
So don't
Okay. So yeah, you're just good. Like, we're now
done.
You're good.
We're done.
Let's get into this week's episode,
yeah.
Which I thought was actually a good episode.
It was pretty great.
I mean, it had it all.
It really did. I'm happy to see like Wasted Katie.
I live for thrilled. Tequila Katie.
I love a Mexico trip.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled.
Yeah. It was good vibes only.
As like one of Sheena's tank tops would say.
Yeah. And when I say good vibes, I mean bad vibes.
I mean,
which are
horrible,
great
destructive,
vibes to me.
Abusive, yeah. Gaslighting.
These are the vibes that I need.
But that's what I expect from the show. And when I get less, I don't like it.
No, I'm angry. I'm about to call the manager when I don't get it. I'm like, truly, if there was a manager that I could call to demand answers, I would have been on the phone.
I would have called a long time ago.
Yeah, I would have called episode one.
Truly.
And
it's
now.
It's really tough.
Yeah.
I used to literally like plan my Monday nights around Vanderpump and I would think about it all day. And now it's the kind of thing where it'll be like halfway through a Monday and I'm like, oh, right. Oh.
Yeah.
There's new Vanderpump rules.
Or you're like, it feels like. Like doing this podcast has never felt like a job until this season where I was like, oh, now I have to talk about something that I don't necessarily like.
Well, you're like, what do I even have to say?
Yeah. And I'm just like, I don't care. Like, I'm not. Now I care. And last episode, I cared.
I think it seems to be going up.
I'm like happy to rediscover my passion.
I know I am too. It also makes me think that. Hopefully, knock on wood, I'm right in my theory that like this season, the shit fucking season, is the receding ocean in the tsunami.
Yes. This Alan is the one who coined the tsunami theory of Vanderpump
it
Rules.
It started more as like a manifestation, like hoping that was what's going to happen and being like, you know what, maybe it's just not going to be great because next season it's going to be fucking off the rails.
Yeah.
And it's going to be even crazier than last season and like shit's going to get fucking real. And it's going to be wild. And I was holding on to that hope. And I'm hoping because we seem to be going in a positive direction that maybe I will be right about
that. Yeah. It seems like we're ramping up for like.
Because the reality of it is if next season's bad, it's over.
Yeah.
So it's like I actually just can't even accept that it could go any other way. So it just has to be. It just has to.
It has to.
It just has to.
And look, it's been around now for 7 seasons. There's going to be like some ebbs and flows.
Yeah.
And that's okay. But like to have a show be pretty much flawless up until this point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of unheard of in reality land. Like, I don't know if Housewives in New York or Beverly Hills didn't make it 6 seasons of like flawlessness.
The first 2 seasons of Beverly Hills were possibly arguably the best seasons of Housewives ever.
Yeah.
And then from then on, I mean, there were still some great seasons, mm-hmm. but those 2 seasons were so incredible.
Yeah.
That they just couldn't have kept it up. And New York is consistently great, but it does not deliver me the same kind of, it's like wish fulfillment. They're all like pretty rich. They live in really nice places in New York. They have like houses in the Hamptons. I'm like, cool.
New York is like comedy, like the comedy element of it. It's like a sitcom.
Totally.
That like pays off over and over. And there is like when Vanderpump is in its best, like prime form, it also is a sitcom. It has like sitcom timing that doesn't have to ever be fucked with like a silly edit or like any of that, which I personally do not like that kind of stuff. I think that it's like,
it
makes me feel like I'm an idiot or like that the producers think that I'm an idiot.
It makes me think like, okay, so you know that this is not delivering.
So you now have to turn it into something.
Like, what are you doing? Like, you're trying to like,
I can't
shake like something shiny in my face so that I forget that like what's happening is what's happening.
No.
Cause I was like,
it's operating on a low level if they're having to resort to like silliness.
And they've
like,
been doing it a ton.
But
they didn't do it this last episode, which is like how you know.
Which is the,
like, okay.
Yeah, that's the barometer.
You got something.
But like Vanderpump at its best is comedy, but then it's tragicomedy. It's the dark, it's Shakespearean darkness that you can just like cry, laugh at.
And it's both, it's like both at the same time.
Yeah.
That's Vanderpump at its best. That's like the first episode of last season.
Yeah.
Was just like, it's like that episode comes to mind when I think of that. And then the episode, the Pride episode in Lala's first season.
Mm-hmm.
Where Lala and Jax leave to go fuck.
Yeah. Like, and they were wearing like the polka dot dresses.
Yes. Those are the two episodes I think of where I'm like, this is full blown Shakespeare.
Yeah.
This is just like,
there's no other way to describe it.
I can't think of anything else that is like, makes me feel that way.
Yeah. There's also like a flashback to season three in this episode. Or not? Was it season three? Was Lala in season three or season four?
Maybe four.
The flashback to the Hawaii trip where everyone, where Katie face. Got mad at her for getting topless. And I was like, mm-hmm. oh my God, I need to rewatch like all of season four because I live for that drama.
Like the Lala slut shaming.
Yeah. And incredible. When I was like, I was just like, this is insane that they're acting this way to this person.
I know. I remember watching at the time and that was like when my Lala love began. Cause I was like, this poor fucking girl.
Yeah.
They are like treating her like it's like full blown like Salem witch shit.
Yeah.
Like they're like, it was just so wild the way they like thought that she was so horrible and awful and just like disgusting because she was like not repressed and like didn't hate herself.
Yeah. But now I feel like Lala has drank too much of her own Kool-Aid.
She has. But which in and of itself is also kind of like a Shakespearean character.
Yeah.
Like who's like, someone who's gotten drunk on their own power.
And also it's like there was no other way for Lala to go mm-hmm. than down because think about it. She was the one woman on this show that had like everything that everyone else, every other woman on this show wanted.
From the very beginning.
From the very beginning.
First episode.
Yeah. Which was like money, like proximity to power.
A hot bod.
A hot bod.
Youth.
Youth. Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And like she was like a model actress, like truly actually modeling and acting.
And like a feasible talent.
Yeah.
Like a singing voice that wasn't like Sheena's.
Yeah. Like really.
Something she could at least pretend to monetize.
Could do anything she wanted. Mm-hmm. Like
fully.
The world hadn't destroyed her and like taken away her like innocence mm-hmm. yet. So everyone hates her and hates her. Her power only grows stronger from mm-hmm. all their hate. Then they realize if you can't beat them, join them because there's never going to be a moment where they're going to outshine Lala. Like it's impossible. So, and plus she has all these perks like private jets and proximity to Randall, who then becomes a great in for them if they want to get in on like the business element.
Totally.
So then everyone starts kissing Lala's ass because they realize like she is the one. Get on the PJ, and now they would never be even think to be mean to her or like cross her because like then they would lose their seat on the jet.
And then so she now, has everything because all she was missing
was
the friendships with these people.
But they're kissing her ass for like all the wrong reasons.
Right.
But she doesn't understand that like these were people who were vile to you.
Yes.
And have done a total flip-flop because you're including them, like you're taking them along for the ride,
mm-hmm.
but you're buying into their like ass kissing as though it were authentic and real, therefore inflating your own ego and making you think that you're like better than everyone else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of Trumpian, actually.
It's very Trumpian. It makes me sad for Lala because I'm like, how can you not see through this?
And then you throw in this whole thing where she's like grieving her dad.
Yeah, which is an added element.
Just like, I have not lost a parent. I don't know how that feels. I mean, I've grieved loved ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that grief is a very wild, crazy, unpredictable, everlasting kind of state. And mm-hmm. she's very early in it. And I can't even begin to imagine how that's affecting all of this shit.
Yeah.
It's so wild to me. It's like, it's amazing.
Her emotional arc is really fucking,
yeah,
intense. Special.
Is Andy Cohen Shakespeare?
Maybe.
Is he the Shakespeare of our time?
He is. Yeah.
I mean, Housewives, Vanderpump.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
He is the new Bill Shakespeare. Or Edward De Vere, if you are one of the Shakespeare truther.
Okay, heard yeah. of it. It's called theater.
yeah, Andy Cohen.
Maybe he is, yeah.
He's the puppet master.
It's the closest thing we have.
Damn.
Yeah.
We just got deep. I love it.
I love it.
The opening of this episode starts with someone crossing the street at Melrose Place and then disappearing. Did you catch that?
Out of the, like, kind of fading out of the...
Faded away.
Yes.
Into the ether.
Wow.
It was, like, the establishing, like, shots of everything, and then this very ominous...
Because
I was,
we
like,
just saw us, now I'm like, oh my god, everything means something?
No, yeah. I was like, whoa, this was... really intense. Fuck. Like, I did it. Ushering you into the world of Vanderpump Rules.
Now that you said it, I remember it. It didn't click with me at the time.
It jumped out to me. It was the first thing I saw. I was freaked the fuck out. Yikes. I need everyone to go back to the very beginning of the episode and watch this innocent man fade away in front of our very eyes.
I wonder if he'll come back.
I don't know. I hope so.
I hope so. Poor guy.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
No one knows.
I have no idea.
What if he's like a missing person?
He's going to pop up in like 100 years, exactly the same as he is now.
With at stories.
Like Melrose and Robertson.
Yeah.
Being like, what happened? Sir's still going to be there.
There's going to be like a docu-series, like the Madeleine McCann, but it's just for this guy who like crossed the street and disappeared. That? I watched the first couple episodes.
Me too.
Then I was like on my phone.
It was kind of like, I'm really interested in that case. And I still was kind of like, this is a lot. I'm like, this is 8 very long episodes about this thing. That's interesting. I'm like, but I'm kind of like, can we just condense
it? Made it just a movie, like a 2
or even like
movie.
4 episodes. Yeah. I feel like a lot of that Netflix stuff is like 4 to 6. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's a sweet spot. 8 is kind of, and I listen, I'm as into true crime as any like young white lady, but yeah. Like, even I was a little bit like, this is fatiguing. This is kind of a lot.
Yeah. I was just like, oh, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It sucked me in minorly, but it was no staircase.
It was no staircase.
Tom Sandoval is getting ready for the biggest night of his life. And he says he's had a couple singles, a couple doubles, but no home runs until tonight.
And we got a flashback to Pierce the Arrow, which yeah. I loved. I was so thrilled.
I love Pierce the Arrow. I love his like rock star era.
What is the name of the woman that they opened for who sang that song, Only the Lonely?
Oh my God.
Fuck. We should know this. That's this
we
is
should
actually
know
embarrassing.
This. Yeah, if we were playing like a Vanderpump Rules trivia game, we'd be
I would be horrified that I couldn't think of her name.
Yeah, listeners Fuck. Would be just dropping off right now. Like, don't judge us.
But I
know.
I'm like, you're listening to this right now, screaming this woman's name.
Yeah, and we'll never know it.
I have
I'm
no
like,
idea.
Is her name Beth?
It's one of my. I think, or is it like Shannon?
Sharon Van.
No. Is it Van something?
I don't know.
I feel like there's 2 T's in it.
Etten? Did I make
Sharon
that
Von
up?
Etten? That's like a person. That's not this person.
No.
Right?
We'll never know.
Fuck.
We could Google it.
I can't
it,
wait but... to look it up later and be so upset that I didn't know it.
Yeah.
She sings Only the Lonely. That part I remember.
Only the Lonely. And then we got the flashback of him working on Peter's film.
And he's like, thanks, Captain. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, with a wink. And also the Peter shot on the green screen on the roof.
On the roof of that very hot
can't
day.
Can't afford any
it
light.
So hot.
I know. This season of Vanderpump Rules has also looked very hot. Like, I'm very aware of how
I
hot
wrote,
everyone is.
I fucking
is.
Wrote it down.
Like, when Tom and Ariana are packing in their apartment, I'm like, you're so hot in
well,
that apartment.
And there's a scene later where Lala's when working, I think it's her... And her hair looks so bad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I've never seen Lala's hair look bad before. It was like frizzy and like a little crimpy and just like, it didn't look right. And then a scene or two later when we see them all showing up at Tom Tom, Ariana's hair also looks bad. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck is going on? And then I put together, I was like, oh, it was so fucking hot this summer.
It was so, it was it that was heat wave that was like.
It was
110 merciless.
Degrees.
Yeah.
This could have been that weekend where it was 110 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are having to film under these fucking lights.
Yeah.
In this like confined space at Tom Tom on that like outdoor patio at Tom Tom. And they must have been dying.
Yeah. And I see them in their apartments too. Like, mm-hmm, I'm sure that Tom and Ariana with that one AC unit.
No
like,
microwave they can use at the same time.
Yeah. Like, I was just like, God, this is during that heat wave and all these people are just like suffering and sweating.
It adds a special layer.
Yeah.
Because I don't think about it. And then I think, and then I see how hot they are and I'm like, whoa. I remember exactly how hot it was when this must have been happening. And it was so unbearable.
Mm-hmm.
That I have like almost a newfound sympathy for all of them just thinking about having to do all this stuff.
But yeah.
I'm like, oh.
I like it. I appreciate their dedication.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, did you notice that like steak art?
Yeah, that was a huge note. That Tom and Ariana have a framed painting of steak.
Is that a painting?
I don't know what
but
it is.
But it's not just steak. It's steak
on a plate.
On a bed of lettuce, on a plate.
With
grill marks on it,
part of a glass of wine. in the background.
Part of a glass of red wine. But the background, almost as though it were the table underneath, is like a picture of a bunch of forks and knives.
Yeah, like that's a tablecloth. Like
that's
maybe
the tablecloth. And it's huge. It was like 3 feet.
It's a
at least
massive.
It was not a small
steak art.
Huge piece of steak art.
Do you
art.
Think that was like the ass steak?
Oh.
That like someone took a picture of and turned into art? Because I was like, why
if
the
so,
fuck do they have a picture of the steak?
At least that's kind of funny.
If it's not the ass steak and it's just like their artistic taste was to get a,
I've got a
painting
bad
or a photo of steak, which I don't put it past them.
I've got
I really
a bad
like
feeling that's
I feel like they
taste.
Are totally in the camp of like,
that's what
let's
I mean.
Get the steak
like, cute.
Art.
Let's put it above the table where we eat because it's food.
Yeah. I was
appalled. I had to rewind it and pause it. I was like, is that what I thought it was?
What is that steak art?
Yeah, steak art.
Yeah. They have steak art in the apartment.
In their house. Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy.
The K-hole transition shots between everyone's apartments getting ready.
That was a wild montage.
That was crazy. I was having like, I almost got an acid flashback.
It was like
trigger.
Breakneck speed. It happened so fast. I thought it sounded to me like Brittany was on coke when we first went to her being like
congested again. What else
being
is
congested
new?
But taught fuck I don't remember she what she was saying. She was like, well, Ariana's like, gonna see Lala and then Lala,
what
do
you think of Top Top tonight? She's like, are you excited for Top Top tonight? It's that's how she always is sounding. I'm like, Brit, you gotta lay off
cool
the
it,
blow, honey. Because
cool it. We can tell
every time that you open your mouth and you're congested. It's the middle of summer.
It's obvious to literally anyone who has ever done coke.
Yeah,
what's going on? Not that I've ever done coke or
I'm like,
anything
as a
illegal.
Former teen coke head, I've got your number, babe.
Like I know
it's called sinusitis. You should
you
stop
it
doing it
all
you
the
have
time.
It. Get a cortisone shot.
You need to go to an ENT. You didn't need to go to like a gastroenterologist. Or whatever.
No,
the fuck.
You need to go like to urgent care.
You need help. It's not good.
Like, it's bad.
She was talking really fast in the bathroom too. She was like talking to Jax about something. She was like, Ariana and Alan, blah 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 blah, and she called a dad card. And I was like,
and then Jax is like, I would have freaked
she pulled
out. What the dad card? Like that's all it takes to set him off. Kristen is nagging Carter. She goes, video games will be here when you get home, which I was like, if I ever have to say that to my significant other, that's literally it. Take me out back and execute me.
Game over.
Because I can't.
Nope.
Good game over. I like
I can't.
That.
Game over. That's like Kristen fully like comes in and like cell block tango style, like shoots him in the head while he's playing a video game. And she's
yes.
like, game over. And that's her like cell block tango thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, pop, twist. Game over.
Cicero. Lipschitz.
She belongs in Cell Block Tango.
Oh my God. Kristen Doty is Cell Block Tango. I rewatched Chicago last week. It's literally one of my favorite
Chicago's
movies
so
of all time.
Fucking good. I've been wanting to watch it again for a really long time.
Oh,
I
would watch
it
like later tonight. Like right. It's my favorite movie.
It's so good.
It never gets old for me.
It's one of the best movie musicals ever made, without question.
It's I saw the musical like
it's
on
boring.
Stage. Chicago
the
movie was better than the actual staged musical.
The stage production of Chicago is not an interesting stage production. I've seen like two versions of it. It's just not an interesting the ways I've seen it done, which have been I think pretty traditional and normal. It's just not an interesting show to see on stage. The movie, however,
the movie
is fucking incredible,
transcendent.
Catherine Zeta-Jones when she
deserves,
does it can't do it alone.
That's my one of my favorite songs.
So good.
I go, she goes, we go, but I can't do it alone.
So good.
She says, what's your sister like?
I say men. Man.
Chills again. Full Chicago
us
heads.
Us in Chicago.
Oh,
I love
double
it
feature.
So much. I love a Vanderpump Rules Cell Block Tango.
Yeah.
They could all do it.
Stassi talks about Patrick.
Stassi's is like, what's her like? Oh, like galvanize.
Yeah.
Kristen's like, game over. Katie's like,
Bubba.
Katie's like, Bubba.
And then Brittany goes, Jax.
Or Brittany goes like, what's a good one for Brittany?
Lala goes, Randall.
What is it? It's like, Randall, galvanize, game over.
Jax.
Bubba, Jax.
I feel like there must be a better word for Brittany than Jax.
No, Brittany's like, I hate you.
Ariana's the one that like didn't do it. Yeah. Ariana's the like not guilty. For
yeah,
sure.
She's
So it's like,
hell no.
What Sheena's? Sheena's just like. So it's like, galvanize, game over,
Bubba.
What's Ariana's word?
What it's is just an like? Eye roll.
Yeah, hers is silent. It's just her rolling her eyes, and then. Okay. Let me see if I can do it. It's. Galvanize, game over. Shit, I already forgot what comes next. Galvanize,
game over.
Ba-ba-ba. Ariana's eye roll.
And then Jax.
No, and then no,
I hate you.
Fuck.
I need anything. Full recap. I'm like ready to raise money to reboot Chicago.
Like remake them,
with
right?
just, yeah, with.
Oh, did we forget Lala that last time? Whatever.
Oh, yeah. We'll figure it out. We got to workshop it.
No, we got it.
But like, I want to cast all of them in Chicago.
Oh my God. Lisa's matron, Mama Morton.
Mm-hmm. You be good to Lisa. She'll be good to you.
Wow. Like, chills. Who's
Tom Tom is very Chicago is James, like settings.
Which one is Billy Flynn?
Like Sandoval might be Billy Flynn.
I mean, he'd be the best.
Yeah.
Razzle Dazzle.
Mm-hmm.
He's all about the Razzle Dazzle.
Schwartz is the lover that gets shot at the beginning.
Just gonna say, I was like, he's fucking dead.
Yeah.
Who else is in that movie? Oh, who's like Roxy's husband, like neglected husband?
Oh yeah. Who's Roxy in that movie?
Fuck, because we kind of used all the girls.
Yeah.
But who's the like,
it just has to be like a new blood. And then once you've killed your shitty abusive boyfriend, then you enter the world of all the cell Vanderpump block verse. Vanderpump Tango.
Oh my God, I love Ariana's just eye roll.
Like,
and she's just like not guilty because she's like, I just don't fucking care.
Yeah, it's not
she's,
like
she's
really,
like I don't even, she's like I don't even fucking care.
We rebrand all the like songs to be. It's not really about like. I guess it could be about like murdering, but then also it's just about like working at Sir Chicago.
You can't see, but I just looked at Laura like she came up with the most amazing idea. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is a $1 billion idea.
Mm-hmm. I need the musical.
Kristen's obviously Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
Because she's got to do Can't Do It Alone.
Mm-hmm.
Duh. Wow.
Yeah.
You guys.
This powerful is fucking stuff. We're making it happen.
Oh my God.
I hate you. Bubba.
Bubba.
What's something that rhymes with like Cicero?
You know, it's shit. Oh, sorry, this is not this what you were asking. Roxy's neglected husband is Shay.
Oh, duh.
Oh my God, he like is, I mean, like singing Mr. Cellophane.
The first season of Vanderpump Rules is basically
is mapped onto Chicago.
Yeah, because like Stassi or like Kristen,
Frank. Dead.
Wasn't someone named Frank in the movie?
Probably. It's a very like
it's the 1920s
or yeah. Whatever. 40s, I don't fucking know. 70s.
It's a very 2000s like name.
No idea what decade it actually is.
Sheena's totally Roxy Hart.
Yeah, she actually is.
The name on everybody's lips is gonna be Sheena. Sheena Shea.
then she literally goes, and it's like Rob and Adam and Cher, all the men that are like carrying her, and like
all the bussers at Sir.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm crying.
I actually can't believe I've never like thought about it this way before.
Yeah, it gives a whole new appreciation.
Right? That now I'm like, where have I been?
Yeah.
Oh my God. Thanks for going on that ride with us, everybody. Wow. That was
Sir. Wow. I'm like, my passion for this show has fully come back since putting it in Chicago terms.
Seriously.
Sheena Shea.
Wow. Okay. Anyway.
Anyways, Ariana says that if Lala doesn't get her shit together, she could lose her job.
Which, again, like,
I'm like, come on.
Shut the fuck. They have to. I can't.
I know they're paying you to say this, but like, stop.
Ariana also said something so funny when she was, when Tom was getting ready, when she was like, oh my God, it's like James Bond in a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is like that.
That was funny.
Yeah.
I forget that Ariana's like,
they're being cute. And
they're really cute. They did something really cute. I know I'm skipping ahead, but like when they get to the hotel and they see the hammock and they both like race each other to the hammock. I was like, that was, they're really cute.
They love each other.
They love each other. They're like best friends.
They are.
It's really, really cute.
Also, I'm like, Tom Sandoval is a really good friend.
Also, Tom Sandoval is a really good friend, and he's so fucking hot in real life.
He's hot in real life.
He does nothing for me on TV, but I saw him in real life and I was like stunned by him. He's like very, very attractive IRL.
Yeah.
In a way that I wasn't expecting.
It's a little bit like tongue-tied.
Totally. I was like, I thought about saying something and I was like, I can't. I was like, I actually can't say something.
He and Ariana both are like two super hot people.
It's really insane.
Like that you're just like, holy shit, I can't believe how hot you guys are.
I hope that their secret like child arrangement is that they like get a surrogate or something.
Yeah.
Because that would be such a fucking hot kid. And mm-hmm. I know she doesn't want to give birth, but like maybe they could like get some eggs out of there.
Fully can afford a surrogate.
They can fully afford a fucking surrogate. That way she doesn't have to give birth.
Yeah. And then they can just be like, come here, little hottie.
It's going to be a hot kid.
That kid.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope. God, I think, whatever.
Yeah. I think it,
God bless Ariana,
are really good.
It.
Tom Sandoval's dad is a smoke show,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is. He is hot.
Tom is a great friend. He'll spend $18,000 to surprise you.
I couldn't help. I'm like, can you not rent a motorcycle?
I know. But I guess like renting it, you can't really put like the TomTom decal on it and like customize it.
That's true. But yeah, Tom's got to go the extra mile. You can't just rent a normal motorcycle.
No, you have to buy the motorcycle, customize it, have it say TomTom, which by the way, the TomTom logo on their motorcycle and helmets is better than the TomTom logo.
It looks cool.
Logo in real life.
It looks cool.
Like I would buy merch of that TomTom logo.
For sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
The other TomTom merch, I'm actually chilled to the bone, but also sweating out of anxiety because it is the worst merch I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, it's I would offer my services as a merch consultant to like get TomTom's merch on the right track.
Yeah.
Why not? It's so bad.
It's bad.
Let me help me help you.
Please help me help you want to buy
like
shit.
Yeah.
I'll give you my money.
People, you know, people like diehard stands have bought the TomTom
like,
merch.
AKA me.
And
I haven't
like,
bought it, but I would.
Yeah, I haven't
had
bought
a Sir candle.
I'm like, yeah, the Sir candle. I have a Sir merch.
Yeah.
Their merch is decent.
It's fine.
Fine enough for me to spend like almost $40 on a hat.
It basically, it just needs to be neutral enough that it's not.
Yeah.
It doesn't stand out as being ugly.
Yeah.
That's all it needs to be.
Good point.
Like it just doesn't, it doesn't need to be this like really cool, amazing. I mean, but that's not Sandoval. It has to be something cool.
Yeah. But we really need, they really need to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
So my services are here for you for a fee, a consultant fee, but like I would do it.
You hear that?
Yeah. So take note.
She's here.
Katie, finally we get my favorite conflict of maybe all of Vanderpump Rules, but also, yeah, I would say it's my favorite, where Katie has fallen back into the role of being sad that Schwartz has no time for her.
Baba, look at this picture, come here, baba.
I love the thought pattern, or I love the just the train of thought that like, once, like, all the hard work was put it with went into opening the restaurant, but then once the restaurant's open, then he'll have more
no
time.
More work.
Yeah.
It's like, excuse
now
me.
Now it's over.
He's literally going to be there every single day. That's like basically what he's there
like,
to do.
Do you know, like, you've worked at a restaurant for a long time. Like, you know what, like, Guillermo does.
Yeah, like,
and
he,
like, Peter.
I saw Guillermo a couple weeks ago.
He's so hot.
He's so hot. I was literally, I took a 12-year-old girl to her, like, soccer practice at, like, a high school around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, as though she would know, I went, oh, my God. And she was like, what? And I was like, have you ever heard of this show called Vanderpump Rules? And she was like, what? And I was like, you know, like, Lisa Vanderpump from Beverly Hills Housewives? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, right, you live in LA, you know.
I love that.
And I was like, so she has the show, and I explained Vanderpump Rules to this 12-year-old. And said, I was like, that guy is, like, the manager that I see him on TV all the time. And she was like, I'm going to yell his name out the window. And I was like, don't. And she didn't. Because I genuinely, I was like, don't do that. I will be really mad if you do that. You can't do that. I was like, you'll get in trouble if you do that.
Love
so
that.
She was like, okay, fine. But she was like fully trolling me, being like, I'm going to tell him to come over.
That's amazing.
Here. I was like, fair enough. That's so embarrassing.
Trolled by a 12-year-old.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah. I love it. It takes you like probably 5 minutes to explain everything and then getting to, and he is the manager of the restaurant. Like,
he's on it every now and then.
Yeah.
Like not even like, and he's the star of the show.
Yeah.
Like he's like a, like a side character, sort of.
Yeah, he has one line a season. He has one scene per season of the show.
And she was like, I'm going to call his name.
I love that. He probably would have loved it.
I mean, he probably would have loved it, but I was like, please don't do this to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no. He's not the cross to die on. No.
I also loved that Tom, when he was getting ready, he did two things when he was talking in the mirror. And
oh,
they did
God.
Them. One of them was, you did it. You did it, buddy. You did something.
I don't know what it is, but I was like, this
something.
Is too real.
And then when he's like practicing, like being a manager and his like way of practicing being a manager, I was like, oh, the women's restroom is out of toilet paper. I got that. I was like, I mean, real. That is kind of what you do as a manager. But it's also yeah. like, that's really sad that like, that's your like aspirational.
Mm-hmm. Like, that's what you think the crux of this
You're
job
is. You're excited to go to work and be like, I'll replace the toilet paper in the bathroom.
What a life he's had, though. Like him reflecting yeah. in the mirror and being, and then there's one point where he's like, you know, I tried to like be a bartender, but, and then it flashes back to him like not working out. And then he's like, then I tried to be a brand ambassador for LVP Sangria. And they're just like, you fucking idiot. And yeah. then it's like, but now this feels right. A restaurant owner. And I was like, literally, I'm going to like take myself out back and shoot myself
well,
for him
like
getting
not-
this job.
But it's not like, even that different than all the other stuff he was saying.
No, but it's like he just exists in the world and gets given like he some sort of karmic thing is happening where he has never had to really do anything but just be. And then he's gifted all these like things in life, oh, which man, is an man. Amazing kind of study of a human being.
Yeah,
I don't know a lot of people that have had kind of the breaks that he's had.
I can't think of anybody I know who's had an experience like that. And I grew up around a lot of people that were like incredibly privileged and had like, you know, could have fallen into like pretty like nepotistic. Is that a word?
I like it.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Like that kind, like whatever. And I don't know anybody who has had this kind of like glow up.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't. And I should.
Yeah. I'm racking my brain and I can't think of it. And it's just like, wow, somehow every single thing is like clicked for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the past like few years, I don't know what his life was like pre Vanderpump no. Rules, but it seems like it was pretty chill.
Yeah, seems fine.
Yeah. Anyways, he has, I think, really signed a deal with the devil by getting married to Katie. Because that relationship, I think we see by the end of this episode that all the same problems are there.
Are just there. But it's the kind of, and it did make me re-angry about this whole season because I was like, so all I'm hearing right now is that like, he's been neglecting Katie for weeks.
Yeah.
Why didn't I know that? Mm-hmm. Why haven't I been seeing that?
Yeah.
Why haven't you been feeding me that storyline over the last couple of weeks? Why haven't I seen a build up to this situation? Why am I just finding this out?
Yeah.
not that I'm mad. I
feel
thrilled.
Neglected.
I personally feel neglected. Yeah. I too am like, Bubba.
I'm like, what happened?
Bubba.
I thought we were all on the same page here, that we were like
Bubba.
In this together. And then you come at me with like, this has been just like percolating.
Yeah.
For fucked. God knows how long. It's fucked up.
It's yeah, fucked.
I agree. Schwartz seeing the motorcycle brings me pure joy.
It was really sweet.
It was sweet.
It really like,
he was
I had
happy.
A moment where I was like, I love Sandoval so much.
Yeah.
He's such a sweetie. He's so sincere. He's so earnest. He lives for these kinds of moments of just like bringing smiles to these people's faces.
He cares.
He cares. And it was really cute and really sweet. And I loved it, even though I fucking hate Tom Schwartz and think he's an alcoholic demon.
There's something, Schwartz just has matter. That thing where you just give him the pass, kind of.
I was like, oh, he's having fun.
Yeah, and their relationship is kind of, it's just very sweet and touching.
And you're like, well, I love Sandoval, and if Sandoval loves Schwartz, then there must be something good about Schwartz.
Yeah.
There
like,
must
I'm
be
here
something.
For their friendship.
I know, even though.
Even though,
even
yeah.
Even though.
And also, I think that it's sweet, like, Sandoval got Ariana her own helmet and then got
I
Katie a helmet,
that.
Which politically, I was like, you're a smart person.
You're
like,
a very smart person.
You know he's never going to be like, hey, Katie, want to go for a ride
no!
on my motorcycle?
But it also seems like it could have been Schwartz's idea. That's what I was thinking, too.
Yeah.
Where I was like, I don't know if they, you know, I don't know the ins and outs of who eventually said how it happened or whatever, but there was a part of me that was like, I bet she thinks that Schwartz came up with that idea, or like was like, I name one for Katie too.
Yeah, because it says Bubba, but I was just Bubba. Like, Tom Sandoval thinks ahead.
Yeah.
He thinks
he's
about
very
everything
smart.
Except getting gas.
Even though
motorcycle.
He's not that but, smart.
Yeah. Like, he gets far enough to where yeah. he can figure it
he's
out.
He's got it. It's
yeah.
fine.
Like, there will always be smart up to a point.
Of course.
But now at least he has the resources to like make up for
totally.
The rest that's not really
I
there.
It.
Yeah. It put me back on Team Sandoval.
It did.
I think like I was him. Like wavering earlier this season, and now
yeah.
I'm just like 100% on board.
I love him.
Kristen sees her admittance to TomTom as a huge step forward in her and Lisa's relationship. And I, in my head, I was like, what world are you actually living in?
Well, Kristen also did something in this situation that was so bizarre. And I didn't notice the first time I watched it, but then I watched it again where she's like, this is, well, yeah, it's like she walks into TomTom and she's like, this is huge for me, which I loved.
Yeah.
But she's like, this is huge for me. Like, Lisa finally let me in or whatever, when she starts talking about Lisa, and then she starts being like, I can see myself next year being besties with Lisa and like going to Villa Rosa and doing all this stuff. And then she goes, what does she say?
She says next year
is gonna be really good.
I was like, why?
What do you mean next year? What are you talking about? Why next year?
Yeah, what's happening in 2020?
Do you have some really scary specific plan that we don't know about and you kind of just accidentally let on to it?
Like, I feel like, yeah, she does.
Next year is going to be really good.
But, like, she has to know that we're still, or next year, oh, I guess she would have been talking about 2019.
Yeah.
But, like, what has
still,
happened
like,
for her in 2019
like that?
That's, like...
That's what I mean. Unless you have something on the horizon.
Yeah.
Who's, like, next year is going to be great.
I'm really confused by Dodie's, like, optimism.
I don't understand it.
There's and something. I don't know if Lisa's like feeding into it or if this is just like a pure delusion.
Kristen has the energy of like, you know, in Best in Show, when mm-hmm. Parker Posey's dog loses the bee and she goes to the like pet store and she's like frantically like running around being like, my dog lost their bee. Like, I need a bee.
Yeah.
And the person's like, okay, well, here's this. And they're like, no. She's like, that's not going to work. He's like, okay, well, here's this thing. And they offer her all these things. And he says, well, this one has stripes and dogs can't see color. So like, they might think this is a bee. And she like, freaks out and finally just picks one. He's like, this one's fine. And he's like, that one looks least like a bee.
Yeah.
And she freaks out. And she's like, you don't know my dog.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously don't know my dog. That's like constantly.
Yeah.
Her energy. Like even in moments of like calm, like she's still just like.
She's very intense.
I need a bee.
Mm-hmm. She's,
she's like, give me.
Always looking
my
for
my dog
bee.
Lost its bee. I need it with like the braces.
Yeah.
Like screaming.
Total braces. When the gang gets to TomTom, there's just a brief moment where Katie's looking around and you just hear her off camera go, it's like moving art. about the decor.
What, like the like gears and shit?
Yeah.
Because it is literally moving.
It's moving. I mean, art, I guess, is like subjective when totally. It comes to like who's viewing it. But I love that she's like, it's moving art.
It's like moving art.
Or it's like a clock.
Or it's like just like steampunk.
Yeah. Moving art.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered shower head. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
The Toms roll up to Tom Tom, and it's a huge celebration.
Which was cute.
It was cute. They sprayed champagne right into the lens of the camera.
It was very like Paul Thomas Anderson. It was like, and there'll be blood when he's like oil rigging or whatever, and they get like a splash of oil on the lens, and you're like, whoa.
You're like,
art.
We're in
like,
it.
Oh,
we're in
art.
The scene. Yeah, move. That's what I call moving art.
That's moving art.
They cut the ribbon, which was confusing because it's like they were already inside.
Yeah.
Like then two people held a ribbon and then someone cut it.
People literally walked out with drinks in their hands.
Yeah.
Like they were open.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even think of
it. I was just like, this ribbon cutting seems like misplaced.
It's like you can't have like a grand late entrance and a ribbon cutting.
Yeah.
You get one or the other.
Mm-hmm. Just like do the entrance.
Just do the entrance. We didn't need a ribbon cutting.
Yeah. And it was also weird that are ribbons usually held by a person on each end? I guess so.
I feel like I just saw something else with a ribbon cutting in it, and now I'm trying to think of, oh, it was an episode of Queer Eye, but I don't remember anything else about it.
Yeah.
There was just a ribbon cutting in it.
Brittany orders a tequila shot and Jax immediately doesn't approve. He goes, honey, your stomach. And she goes, that's why I'm doing it, because I can't have all these mixed drinks. And
which was like,
that logic.
And she believed, like, she was like, yeah. She's yeah. Like, yeah, I'll just have a shot.
I love, that's why I'm doing it.
That's why I'm doing it. Well, I can't have all these crazy mixed drinks. So like, as though she's having, like, pure, like, the purity of having a shot was, like, the problem.
Yeah, like, just do straight acid tequila.
And wouldn't have Lala's mocktail because it was spicy.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, well, I can't have that. I'm not supposed to have spicy food.
Later on in the night, it cuts to her and she's like, well, I have this shot, well, which I is got a this huge shot. Glass of tequila.
And a mini shot. So like, I just pour a little bit from here when it's like, I want to drink. Like, wild.
It's like, you have a stomach ulcer.
You have a drinking problem.
You have a drinking problem and like a stomach ulcer that, according to Jax, causes you to spend hours
vomiting
in the bathroom.
Or shitting. And you're just like, well, if I just have like a couple of shots, which like, again, like no shade. If I had a couple of, quote, a couple of shots in a night, I'd probably throw up.
Yeah, I can't.
I just have a sensitive stomach. If I had three drinks, period, I can throw up.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not. So to imagine someone's like trimmed down version
is just drinking straight tequila all night.
Drinking straight tequila. Oh, for hours.
She says, I'm just going to do, that's why I'm just doing this one right now. I'm not going to be like all down the hatch like I usually am.
And says it to Jax like he's crazy. Like, yeah. She's like, well, yeah. Hello.
But I also was thinking, because then it cuts to Jax and his talking head and he's like, you know, we're going to be having babies soon. And I just want Britt to be healthy. And I was like, is this laying groundwork for what their eventual next round of conflict is going to be when he was like, she's losing her spark, blah, 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 which is like, she's not healthy. Like,
oh, this is. And that's how they're going to put off having kids.
That's how they're going to put off having kids, or how there will be a justification to cheat again. Like, it always comes back to like finding something about Brittany to blame. And now this is a perfect thing that can fill in for the lost spark is like, oh, Brittany just won't take care of herself. Like, she's not healthy.
I like what you're saying.
It's just like, I kind of like my intuition was like ringing at that.
Well, it's the way he said it with this like false concern with this like, I just want her to be healthy. It's like
healthy.
I took it as like more of the sort of like performative dad stuff where it's like, well, I've had like some death in my life recently. And like the last thing I want is like, for Brittany to like get sick. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I've thought which about that too, which I both. Think is part of that.
But you're so right that it'll be this thing of him like putting things off because he's like, Brittany, you're just like, you're not taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And then all because he's always harped on her health. Ugh. And he's harped on her like weight and like working out and stuff. And so I feel like this ties into that somehow.
Yeah.
And then also I'm just like, lol, if Jax is like lecturing you about your health. He has had like 40 breast lumps.
Yeah.
Like, you need to really get your shit together.
That's really scary. That's not the person you want to be like hearing about that from.
Katie is acting needy and insane to Schwartz.
Bubba, look at this picture.
Look, Bubba.
Bubba, come here.
Like,
I love you, Bubba. Bubba.
This is like his night.
Like, let him, you know. As much as I truly, like, I really can't say it enough, I fucking hate Schwartz. I think he is a very scary, volatile alcoholic who, because he comes off like such a little sad puppy, doesn't seem
threatening. He gets away with it.
But he is, I think, so fucking manipulative and so scary and, like, deeply, deeply sick.
Mm-hmm.
That being said.
Love that. I love that diagnosis.
That being said, I was on his side for pretty much this entire episode. And I'm not a Katie fan by any means. So I, you know, like I'm not fans of either of them. I'm not going to be on either of their sides by default. Regardless, most of the time I'm just like on team nobody.
Yeah.
But he generally seemed to be making sense to me a lot in this episode.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to Katie not making sense. And if I had to pick one who was making more sense,
it would be him.
Tom.
Well, I agree with that. And I also think that in the instance of just looking at this one night and then like your travels to Mexico, just what we're seeing on camera, it seems to me it's like, this is a person's big night. They're going to be pulled in 1,000 different directions. It's not the night where they're going to be like cuddling up with you and like whispering in your ear all night. It's like their night. So you just have to let them do their thing. And then you like go home and fuck later.
It's, and it's like if you've been with a partner to like a networking event for them,
mm-hmm.
like you can't expect to just like have their attention all night, or like, you know, not like a networking event. I'm like, oh, what the fuck?
No, but like
some, like a company thing for somebody or someone where like colleagues or, you know, like you just have to go into that knowing that it's not like a normal party. It's not like, like a normal night out. Like,
yeah,
it's a work thing. It's a business. And as much as it is wild that he has this business in the first place, his name is on this restaurant and people are there the opening night because they want to see fucking Tom.
Yeah.
So he's going to be spread pretty thin. It's not about like being like hanging on Bubba and being like, oh my God, Bubba, I'm so happy.
Yeah. And it's not like your thing that you did together. It's him, right. And Tom Sandoval's thing.
It's his.
So just like chill the fuck out.
Tom and Ariana were together all night.
Yeah.
Because she was like hanging out.
Ariana's like secure in herself.
And she's, I'm like sensible.
This just shows you like, and what kills me about Katie, and I think what's always killed me about Katie, is she gets so like up on her high horse bullshit and like talks such a big game about like, I've gone through so much and like I did all the work and like now I'm like truly know what confidence means and like blah blah blah. And it's like, no, you fucking don't. Because if you were a confident person, you wouldn't be like whining at your boyfriend all night. You wouldn't be like making it your mission to cut James out of like his job and like this show.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have to like find these people to like arbitrarily hate. You'd just be chill and you'd have a different storyline. Like, mm-hmm. If you actually learned a thing about your fucking life, you wouldn't be in the same situation. Like, and if you're choosing to be constantly portrayed on a TV show as like this needy, sad person, that's also very sad for you, because like, I would not want that to be my go-to narrative.
And it's almost like, it's almost as if it's like you watch her doing it and it's like, do you think in the moment that you're coming off as sympathetic? Is that why you're doing it? Like, do you think people are going to watch you and be like, oh, poor Katie.
Yeah.
I can't believe someone called her fat at work. And like, I can't believe her husband's neglecting her.
It's
poor,
just like,
Katie.
The and second I'm like, she gives like a specific face look, you know it's over. Exactly that it's over.
You like, know it's over. She's in full blown I'm the victim mode.
Yeah.
And she is going to do everything in her power to convince you.
Mm-hmm.
That you have made her into a victim and she doesn't deserve it.
No, and she's constantly being like victimized by everyone around her. And I'm just like, oh, it would get exhausted. Like, I just personally, it even if I tiring. Felt like everyone around me was against me and trying to victimize me, I still would not ever want to be portrayed as that. Because no. I feel like that's so disempowering.
I'd like go into hiding. I'd be like, okay, bye.
Like, I'd be like, that's okay. Not my storyline. Like, my storyline is like, I would rather be like a villain that's like seen as like,
like a James.
Yeah, like a James and a Katie.
100%.
Even if it was totally. Just like wild, at least you're like bringing lols and like entertaining and like have something to offer. Like,
right.
Katie really is only entertaining when she is acting like this, but it's also really unfortunate because it's like you have so many, like you have real problems.
Someone on this podcast at some point, I think recently, was like, name one thing that Katie's done that's been iconic. And I was like, holy shit. Like, I can go through every other person who's been on the show and mm-hmm. think of something that they did that was iconic.
Yeah.
And that has cemented their place in the show.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't think of one fucking thing.
No.
I was like, I get it now. I get why she's so exhausting. And she's so, because you're like, then why? You're like, why am I even watching you?
Yeah. Why do I root, like, I've never rooted for her on the show because it's like she gives you nothing to root for. Yeah. She is just a wet blanket. So then now I enjoy seeing her in the position of being a wet blanket because
Schwartz
it means someone's
like,
going to yell at her or put her down or at least just like clap back at
Schwartz
her.
Schwartz literally goes, Bubba, you're being a wet blanket.
Yeah.
When they're in Mexico. Bubba, you're being a wet blanket.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
You are.
She's being a wet blanket.
But it's like at least then you get some sort of payoff for like how just like awful she is, because
agreed.
She really has not done a single iconic thing,
literally nothing
except fall through a skylight,
except fall through, and we didn't,
and we
see
didn't
that.
Even get to
and
see
that,
that
wasn't even on fucking camera.
Yeah, so
and I blame her for that.
Too
fuck
little
you.
Too late.
Fuck you.
Why is Lala lying about the brunch with Billy Lee?
Oh my God. I love when Lisa calls her up and goes, "What happened at brunch?" And Lala goes, "What happened at brunch?" She's like, "What are you? Who? I don't
even." She kind of like pouts. Lala A has never looked more gorgeous than like in this scene.
So fucking beautiful.
I was like, "What is going on?" Like, finally, the hair color and the work and the lighting all came together.
She's wearing a tube top, so you can just hear like gorgeous collarbone.
Yeah.
It was very like dressed down for her. For mm-hmm. her.
Yeah.
Like, for her.
Still, it was a casual.
Dressed up for me.
It was casual Lala.
For Lala.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked gorgeous.
But then
even
I'm like,
though she was just like, well, I don't, what do you mean? Like, what part of brunch? What are you talking about? And I was, it's because she was in trouble. She never gets in trouble. It was like one of the first times we saw her in trouble, and she knew she was in trouble because she knew she acted out and she knew she was about to get told, and she was trying to be just like.
But also it's like that there was a camera literally next to you. Like, you can't lie about that. And so I'm like, is this just supposed to be like, are they play acting? Because like Lala is not like,
right.
She's not like sustaining her lifestyle off of hostessing at Sir. Like,
certainly not.
I don't think that she even is a hostess there when the show isn't filming. And even when it's filming, I think that she films at the hostess stand, but there's a different hostess that's actually managing things.
For sure.
Like, I'm pretty sure at that brunch with Billy Lee, there was an actual hostess at the hostess stand.
Well, when Billy Lee was standing there and was like, yeah, yeah, you can take a patio and like a seat in the patio or whatever, there was someone else standing there with her who was not Lala.
Yeah, there was like a little like blonde girl with menus there. That was the hostess.
Yeah, so like we know the jig's
like,
up.
Yeah, Lala's not like losing this job is not a real stake for her. So I'm like, are you pretending or are you really like trying to pull this off? Mean, like you didn't flip your shit.
It's possible that like she, maybe it's not even about her fake job so much as it's about she realizes she's realizing as she's being confronted about it. That she actually came off really poorly and James came off really well for once.
Yeah.
And she's about to have to face that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's about to have to be like.
She Jamesed out.
She fully Jamesed out and he was really chill.
Yeah.
So, like, I wonder if maybe that's where she's like, I might be about to be embarrassed because I know that I actually acted out and James didn't. And all of a sudden I kind of look bad.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. Could be reading too much into it, but
it was confused. A strange. I was like, I think the Lala I know would just be like honest and own it and then move on.
Like I got really upset. It wasn't cool. Like I should never have done that. Like that wouldn't have been outside of her.
Yeah. Lisa's not going to fire you. Clearly she's not going to fire you
but
for
she
this.
Just lied.
But she just lied. And then Sheena came over and you know, Sheena.
I love like, narc Sheena.
Sheena cannot not narc on someone.
No, she can't. She was just like, I loved her confession when she was like, Lala's my friend, but, like, I can't lie to my boss.
No.
Like, and then Lisa's like, you're the most professional waitress I've ever had. And I was kind of, at first I was like, what? And then I thought about it and I was kind of like.
Sheena is a professional.
She's good at her job.
Yeah.
She's good at her job.
She gets those tips. Remember, she got a $100 tip.
She did.
Sheena's running Krispy Chickens left and right. Like, she is engaged and Lisa knows that Sheena will tell her the truth at all times.
Yeah.
Lisa gets in the sidecar. And her scream when the sidecar. I need it as my ringtone.
I'm obsessed with Sandoval and Lisa's relationship this season also. That he just keeps being like, Lisa, you look so cute.
Yeah.
He says that every episode.
Take a shot every time Sandoval tells Lisa she's cute.
I don't know something about it. I think it's so sweet.
He loves Lisa.
Lisa, you look so cute. I love it.
It's cute. It makes me like Lisa more because totally. I've really flip-flopped on her. But when Sandoval likes her,
I'm like, okay.
And when anyone does like a really high-pitched scream that's like above and beyond the call of duty really for cute. A scream, it really endears me to
it's
them.
So cute.
Just when you think that the scene is done, you get a far away.
Like get slowly farther like
it was a really good scream.
It's great. I loved that. I loved watching them drive off when towards you know San Vicente or where the fuck they were going.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Weirdly, that motorcycle was parked outside of Tom Tom for
a long time.
Yeah, but like for the first few weeks, but then it's never been there again.
No, I wonder where it is now.
It's like that Sir-mobile that was like sometimes parked outside of Sir, like the pink Sir-mobile.
I never actually saw that outside of Sir.
I saw it a couple times. But yeah, I guess they, Tom and Ariana, park their car in their house now or some shit.
I found their house, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Did you drive? Is it close to?
So I'm a LA native, baby. And my parents live in the Valley. I was born and raised in Sherman Oaks. And I was driving to my parents' house the other day. And I won't name street names because I'm not a bad person, but I was driving down like kind of a main Valley street. And I had a friend who lives in the Valley who told me that they found the house.
Yeah.
And they told me vaguely where it was. And I realized I was in the area, which is very close to my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, I'm going to drive. I like had you time. I was like, I'm going to drive around and find it.
Yeah.
And as I said that, I drove past it. It's like very visible.
Wow.
I didn't have to do like turn onto the street and find like. It is right there.
Wow.
And I turned onto the street and I was going, oh my God. Oh my God. And I like called my best friend and told her I found it. It's a nice house. They have a big lot.
Yeah. It looks like a great house.
It's a nice, I mean, it's like, listen, there's a lot of haters on the Valley. I fucking love the Valley.
The Valley is chill. And also if you're going to buy property, your dollar goes way further than it would in West Hollywood.
You can get such a nice fucking house in the Valley, and the Valley's great. There's so much great shit in the Valley.
You have everything in the Valley that you have in LA proper, or like the non-Valley.
Totally.
But then also it's hotter, but you have central heat and air, so it's not a big deal. And they have a fucking pool, so it's all good.
I know. My parents' house is in the Valley, and it's like it gets hotter there, but exactly. They have fucking central AC. You don't know when you're inside.
Yeah. I wish one of my parents lived in the Valley.
Yeah, it's pretty chill.
It'd be nice to have like just like a home base in the Valley.
It's really, really nice. My mom just got a rowing machine.
Oh, love that. Actually, I hate that. I don't know why I said it, because I hate rowing machines, but I love.
I love it. And I've been going over there recently, like during the day when she's at work, to just like
have a row.
This rowing machine. I'm a real Olivia James.
You're a real rower.
I'm a real, I row.
Someone call USC. We have a new rowing recruit.
Lots of pics of me. I've been, oh my God. There's an Olivia Jade video specifically that I sent to Carrie because I just had the most like brilliant artistic vision I've ever had in my life. It's the video where she's announcing her like palette with Sephora.
Uh-huh.
And I watched the first like minute of it and I was like, Carrie has to reenact this.
Yeah.
Like he was born to, I'll show you the video. It's like her like trying not to cry
mm-hmm.
over announcing her palette. And she's like, hey guys, it's me. Okay, I'm sorry, I'm gonna try that again. And like she
has to do multiple takes.
So I'm as
he is Olivia.
Any
Jade.
Fans of Sexy Unique Pod who love Carrie, which I hope is everybody, you need
everyone.
To fucking bully him on his Instagram and get him to do this, because he said he was gonna do it, but he still hasn't done it. It's been like a week, and I know he's like been with his family on vacation, but I'm also like,
I'm like, where's Olivia Priorities. Jade content?
Like, yeah. I don't, you're going to watch this and you're going to be like, yeah, that's what he was born.
Yeah, he is.
To do.
He and Olivia Jade are maybe the same person.
100%. We've been talking about her. He sent me a video.
He
sent me a video for yesterday that was called Olivia Jade being a rich brat for 6 straight minutes. It's just like a compilation of her being like, so yeah, like I got this Gucci bag for like my birthday, and like it's actually really funny because like I was also gonna get like my mom a Gucci bag for her birthday, and it's like, it's so cute, it's just like really like mini. Like, and all these things that were just like
perfect.
It's fucking great.
Yeah.
So bully Carrie on his Instagram
DNA and created an Olivia Jade.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And I need everyone to like get on him and get him to deliver this content.
The
so
readers will do it.
I need them to do it. Thank
they
you.
Will do it.
Thank you for your assistance.
Bo is being really extra, and I'm like, we get it. You're
that
goofy.
That went on for 20 minutes.
Yeah,
that dancing scene of him in that dinosaur costume. I was like,
dinosaurs peaked like 2 years ago on Instagram.
100%. Like, we're past that.
We're
like,
past this like lol
humor moment.
Yeah,
like it's just like not something that's like fresh.
I'm like, okay,
but he's, all of his stuff is kind of like that.
He's
like,
real,
he's a little bit behind on the jokes,
mm-hmm.
which is like kind of endearing and makes me think that
I think they're all like, they're not up to date on like what the good memes are.
They're all very like, but first coffee. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're all very like tacos.
Yeah. Like, they just edged out of like the keep calm and carry on phase. Yeah, like they just were like, that's so yesterday to them.
As of today.
Yeah. And now they're into like, but first coffee and tacos.
Right.
And so it makes sense that he would think like a dinosaur costume is the biggest lol of his life.
I can't stop thinking about Sheena's tank top that said mermaid vibes. I think about it every single day.
Yeah.
Obsessed.
I love it.
Obsessed.
She loves mermaids.
Mermaid vibes.
Mermaid vibes. She loves a wet look.
She loves a wet look with that like Carmen Sandiego outfit.
Her like 80s office worker, working girl moment is truly the best look of the season.
I fucking love it.
It's a power move.
But yeah, that T-Rex thing truly went on for 25 minutes. And I was like,
okay,
we gotta move on.
Yeah.
Simply must move on. We've spent too much time with the two of them in Stassi's apartment.
We're indulging Beau's like personality like way too much.
I'm not interested.
Stassi has to write in Mexico and it's such a bummer.
I actually was like, oh my god, same. When she was like, this is my writing outfit.
Yeah, when she's like, this would actually be so comfortable. I do that a lot too.
I'm like, okay, this is what I'm gonna wear when I write, and this is where I'm gonna sit. Like, I'm like, all that fucking bullshit is like exactly what I do when I want to write. Like, it is. I actually respected that. I was like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah,
her boobs are so big.
I think
what's going on?
Okay, so she's so busty in the like talking head.
That green dress.
The green dress, I think, is just ill fitting. I made my mom watch an episode of Vanderpump Rules while she was here, like just like last week's episode. And she had a lot of thoughts about Stassi's look in that. She was like, it just doesn't fit her. And
no,
I really
it is
think.
Ill-fitting.
Yeah.
It is ill-fitting, but her boobs look like, didn't she get a reduction?
She did, but they just look massive. And I think it's just because in other things, they look just the
normal,
regular size that they've looked for forever.
Totally.
But then somehow in this one moment, they're huge. And I'm like, okay, well, what's the secret to that? Because
yeah,
I would love to know whatever you did. Yeah. I'm like, sign me up.
It blows my mind.
Yeah. Every single time my eyes just go right to her tits.
I'm like, I literally can't help it.
No.
Couldn't if I tried.
Yeah. And like the seams are so pulled tight.
I know.
And there's like one little seam that kind of comes out to a point.
Yeah.
But also I think there's a talking head where Kristen's wearing the same dress as Stassi, but in a different color. Kristen's is when she's like, I'm going to be easy breezy lemon squeezy. I think that is the same dress that Stassi is wearing.
Huh.
But it's all like a different size
like
and color. Yeah, it's like their Revolve. Like they just,
you know, whatever.
Get whatever
just
is
get
like
all the same shit.
Cheap.
Whatever.
Jax is irritated about the flowers for the engagement party, and I kind of am into the comedy of Jax.
I literally wrote down, sometimes Jax makes me laugh.
It's funny when he's looking at the flower. He goes, "What the what
weeds?
Weeds? Those are dead.
They're weeds.
They're weeds.
Weeds." I was laughing.
Like,
sometimes
I get it.
He makes me laugh.
He's funny.
He did something like last season and it was so basic and stupid and not funny. But unfortunately, I laughed. It was like him and Schwartz went out to lunch somewhere and the person was like, what do you want as your side? Like the green salad or like French fries? And Jack's like, if you get a green salad, I'm walking out of here right now. And it was so fucking dumb and like basic and like not funny and like kind of like toxic masculinity. But it.
But
made
he is
laugh.
That, and it's funny when he does it.
It made me laugh.
Yeah.
It sucks.
Weeds.
And then he said something so weird. He was like, ugh, don't say that word. It reminds me of slacks or pants.
Clusters. Like, he didn't like the word clusters.
And I was like, slacks and pants? Those are just like normal words.
Yeah. The funniest thing he said last episode was when he was like, Brittany's looking at the menu, and he sat down, and he goes, everything on here I hate.
I'm kind of like pivoting to being like, I love Jax.
I like it seeing him get trolled by all these things that are supposed to be
totally.
Celebratory that like
he's just like, fuck this.
Yeah, he's everything on here I hate.
It makes me laugh.
Yeah, it's funny.
He makes me laugh. I didn't laugh when Brittany said, this is not a democracy, it's a Britocracy.
I'm like, she doesn't know what either of those things mean.
She has no idea what the word democracy means. And I don't like when I can tell that producers are writing jokes for these people.
Or like someone wrote that joke for her.
It doesn't. Oftentimes it goes off without a hitch and I don't mind.
Yeah.
But when it's that obvious, I'm like, fuck you.
You know, she like had to shoot that line like 4 times. Yeah.
She's like, it's not a democracy. It's a what?
It's not a Republican. It's a Democrat.
It's not a Republican. It's a Democrat.
And they're like, no.
Like, no. Try again.
Yeah. It took her a minute.
Okay. It's not a banana republic. It's a
bureaucracy. And they're like, almost.
And they're like, that's fine.
50% of the way there. Try again.
So we're going to keep that first part and then just do the second part.
The reason that she's so sweaty in that moment is because that's she's her been 10th take. Filming for hours. Just she's trying
like,
to get it right.
You literally can see her kind of be like looking the producers in the eyes being like, it's a bureaucracy.
Yeah.
I did it this time. Like, it is so... That was upsetting.
There was a producer behind the scenes for sure, like, mouthing along with her. Yeah. Lala says she can't remember the last time she flew commercial.
Oh, obsessed. I loved that.
Yeah. Should we fly with assistants?
I would have loved more footage of Lala at LAX. Like, at Hudson News.
She like, seemed like she like, just couldn't, like, even... Like, someone had to type in her, like, boarding pass
thing
for her.
It was so foreign to her. She was just like, what? Which was, like, funny, but also was like, this is really sad. You, like, really don't know how to function in the world.
Yeah, I'm your, like, I worry boyfriend. For you. Yeah.
That's a bummer.
Yeah. You've never had a moment of really having to be, like, single and, like, independent.
Yeah. Oh, this is going back. But when they did, like, a packing montage of everybody, like, getting ready or whatever. And they... Sandoval throws the two belts on the things and Ariana goes, you don't need two belts. And he goes, two belts? Those are my two red belts.
Yeah, I loved that.
That also made me genuinely laugh.
Yeah.
God, I'm just so happy with these people when things are going well on the show. I'm like, do whatever you want.
Yeah, I'm like, you guys, you earn this.
You're funny.
The moment that the show starts to suck, I'm like, I fucking hate you all. Burn in hell. You've ruined my life. Yeah, no, there's no laws. I'm a fair weather fan.
You love clothes.
I'm basically like, when I was growing up, my both my parents went to OU, and my dad is like a huge college football like maniac. Mm-hmm. So I would then get dragged to OU games like every fucking weekend. And it was from that young age that I learned to hate football.
Yeah.
And just like slogging through these games, like not understanding anything that's going on. But all the fans around me, like I learned all my first cuss words because it's just like those call like Oklahoma football fans are vicious.
Yeah.
And they are truly the fair weather fans. Like when the game is going well and the team is there like, oh, hell yeah. And like high fiving after everything. And it's like all love and light. And the minute that someone fucks up, they're like, fuck you. Fuck your mother. You should have never been born. God damn it. And like people will get up and walk out of the stadium. They oh just like God. They just totally abandon their like love of their life team when there's like a tiny bit of crisis. And that's I realized how I am with Vanderpump Rules.
Wow.
I'm diehard. But I'm not necessarily ride or die.
Wow.
This is learned
too
behavior.
Bad this is your job.
Yeah, I know.
So it doesn't matter
to do it. I know the cast of Vanderpump has the last laugh when they're literally like, we can phone it in and we still get paid like 40,000 an episode. You just still have to talk about it.
Enjoy it.
Bye. Sheena goes,
Bubba.
Bubba.
Galvanized.
Bo says he's nervous because to go to Mexico because he knows they all like to quote party and argue. And I was like, yeah, they do.
True.
And I was like,
I don't disagree.
Fair assessment.
They do like to party and argue.
I was like, let's pray that they do party and argue. And I
hope
love for
do.
It to make you brutally uncomfortable.
Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Just for me.
Please.
Just this once.
Thank you.
Katie's face when she sees Sheena and Tom sitting in first class, I was like,
thank
your
God we're finally here.
Days are numbered.
Well, so this is okay. So they got so okay. So Schwartz and Sheena got randomly selected to be bumped up to first class because the thing was overbooked.
Yeah.
Fine, whatever. Katie walks on the plane. She didn't know that ahead of time.
I guess not.
Because she would have had to have been separated from him for X amount of time for him to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
But she gets in and she looks at him with daggers in her eyes and says, trade me.
She goes, what? She's like, what are you doing? Why are you sitting up here? Which
trade
was the first red flag. And then the trade me demand, which was
trade me.
Say it again.
Trade me.
Cue Lisa's scream.
Bone chilling.
Trade me especially is insane. Not
know,
even like
you know that's
sit,
not gonna
no, come sit back. Trade not someone else like, and come
Tom,
sit back.
Tom, don't
trade me.
Which is why the rest of the situation was so funny, because it wasn't like even from the beginning she was like, no, please sit with me. I don't want to sit by myself. It was like, give me the advantage.
Yeah, trade me.
I want to sit in first class. You don't. You shouldn't sit in first class. And then when he was like, oh, come on, no.
Normally I would, but I love you. And I was like, oh. But then we realized later that Katie's sitting next to Lala. So it's not like she had to sit alone on a flight.
She's
and also
with a fucking stranger.
It's a airplane flight. Like I've flown with people who've gotten upgraded and then we just sit in different seats. And you know what? I've gotten over it.
I'm not trying to like chill on a flight. Like I'm not trying to like hang out with you. And
she
like,
goes, I love flying with him. This is the most insane thing I've ever heard anyone ever say in my life. Because we get some cocktails, we watch a movie, and we share headphones.
Share headphones.
And I was like, excuse me?
So that's just like what you do in your day-to-day life, but like on a plane?
A share a headphone, like watch a movie one together bud. On the plane where you both go one, two, three.
And do you then want like, the left bud or the right bud?
Yeah, like what? I thought she was going to be like, I love planing with him because I sleep on his shoulder.
Or it would even be one thing if she was like, I'm really afraid of flying. Like, and I really, and it really like, I feel comforted when this person is next. I'm like, that would have been one thing. If I were on a going on a fucking 2.5 hour flight and my partner got upgraded to first class, I would say, go.
Yeah.
Awesome. I'm so jealous.
Mm-hmm.
Have fun.
I might be don't mildly annoyed for a second.
I might be annoyed for, well, it depends how they react. Because if yeah. their first reaction is to be like, do you mind? Then I'm like, you know what? No.
No.
But if
fun.
They're just like, don't even ask me, then I'm kind of like, oh, so you're just going to do it.
If they faded away and then somehow ended up in first class.
Appeared in first class and didn't tell me.
I'd be
maybe
like.
Maybe I would say, trade me.
Trade. Yeah, I think I might pull a trade me.
But
I got really freaked out yeah, because I think I recognized true. That I could easily pull a trade me with like a significant other.
I could pull a trade me in that. You're right. In that situation where she was like surprised, I'm guessing I was thinking about it from the standpoint of like, you find out they get upgraded. There's only one seat.
Mm-hmm.
And that your partner, because they're a good partner in this scenario, is like, oh my God. Would you be mad if I did? I won't do it if you don't want me to do it.
Yeah.
And I would have said, it's totally fine. It's 2.5 hours. It's going to be super fun. I'm probably going to sleep the whole time anyway. It doesn't fucking matter. I'll see you in 2.5 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I sleep on every airplane I go on, I basically am out like pretty much immediately. Like
I'm
can't stay awake.
I'm stunned that she didn't get more mad at Sheena.
Yeah.
To be like, you trade me.
Mm-hmm. She just
let me
didn't.
Sit with my husband.
The good news was that the line was moving. It was so fast. Like you
that
have to move
no
fast.
Time.
She had no time to like go full You're Gila so right. monster on everyone. So she just had to do a quick bone chilling trade me, dead eyed trade me demand, then get shot down. But then there was nothing she could do because the rest of the plane still had to board.
She just had to rage text. She had no other choice.
Had to go sit in her seat, suck down a vodka cranberry.
Ugh,
and then. Just hunch over and text.
And text. It's so scary. It's so fucked up.
I knew that's what she was doing too. As soon as it showed her texting.
Again, like, I just like the way that on Real Housewives of Beverly. Jesus, the way they're on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills right now. We get the like poster board size screenshots of the text between John Blizzard, mm-hmm. as Ken says, Blizzard, and Teddy. Where are the fucking rage text screenshots? Because we used to get those.
Yeah.
They would show us those. And like, it's fine to hear Tom list it off. I believe everything he said. Like, I'm sure that that's what it said. But like, I want to see that shit. How dare you not show that to
yeah,
me?
Show me.
Show me the rage text.
Like, was he responding?
Yeah. Or was it just like, blah, 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 blah.
She
like,
fucking cuts really fucking deep and goes there when she
when
texts.
She's like,
I'm taking my ring off. I love it. I don't want to see or talk off. To you the entire time we're in Mexico. It's like, good luck, bitch. You have a room
incredible.
Together.
Incredible. I just love.
Zero
There's
to 60.
There's a thing in like 12-step programs. There's a big, at least the one that I'm in where there's like not a motto, but a thing that is often said is like, don't make threats that you don't intend to carry out.
Mm-hmm.
And like all Katie does is make threats that she does not intend to carry out.
Yeah.
Like that is her deal. That is her favorite thing to do.
She loves a threat.
She loves an empty threat.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucking wild. I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
I was like, more of this.
More empty threats, please.
Put Katie and Coach.
More threats that you won't, that you don't intend to take out.
Yeah. She can't share an earbud with someone and no. It triggered World War III.
And she lost her mind.
She lost it. She also Thank did get wasted.
God. Think. Oh my God. When she was in the lobby and Schwartz goes, are you wasted right now? And she's talking to Lala and she's like, I told you, see, I he was said,
see?
He, I know, I told you he was going to say that. He looks at me and says, are you wasted? I was like, yeah, because you are wasted.
Because you're fucking drunk.
And that also made me really mad when Lala was like, Schwartz, you can't just do that. Like,
you can't just ask her if she's been drinking. She's mad. And it's like, what? Those have literally nothing to do with, like,
she
you can
has
ask
been
her.
Drinking. She's fucking hammered.
Yeah.
Like, what are you
she's
talking about?
She's sucking down
about?
Vodka cranberries on the plane.
For
and then
and
is
half
like,
hours.
Yeah, going fucking bonkers on him, being like, doing the thing where it's like you don't even like look at the person. And then there's one moment where I rewound and when they get off of like, I think they're either boarding the bus or getting off. And he's like, your bag goes over here. And she's like, I know where my bag. And like, I was like, oh my God, like
tough.
Girl, get it together.
It was not good.
You know that there are cameras around. Like, why would you want to repeat this?
I'm so thrilled she did.
I'm thrilled she did too. I
Thank
knew they
God
couldn't keep
did.
It together for
Thank
long.
God, she did.
And then you realize that they're just, they're in the same boat they've always been in.
Yeah.
And like, Tom Schwartz probably isn't that great of a husband.
Oh, no.
But you know what? He wasn't that great of a boyfriend.
No, so like, this, he's you got yourself into this situation. Like,
yeah.
This is not like, oh my God, you married this guy and now he's a completely different person. That's so heartbreaking. It's not like a Dirty John situation.
No.
Like, he's like always been this person and you knew very well what you were getting into.
Yeah. Like, the problems, like, marriage does not solve the essential problem of your relationship,
yeah.
Which is that, like,
it's so scary, these people.
Yeah.
I just think that that's like the way.
They're like, they think a catastrophic thing happens and then you magically wake up and then you're a new person. Or like, it's like, that's not how life works.
Dark.
I need them all to go to therapy, but filmed.
Yes. Therapy yeah. rules.
Therapy rules.
We need therapy rules.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Katie's shit-faced, slurring and sulky. Her outfit also is truly...
Peak Katie.
Peak Katie.
Peak Katie.
Yeah.
Where, once again, like, I think, in spite of all of this, I think Katie is gorgeous. I think she looks beautiful. I think... She has gorgeous hair. I think she has a beautiful face. I think she looks better with a little more weight on her than she did when she was really thin.
She looks stunning.
I think she is so fucking beautiful. Cannot dress to save her goddamn life.
Has never met an outfit that has looked flattering on her.
It's out of control.
She's dressed like a frumpy aunt who loves to like craft and bead on the weekends, but during the week has like an office job as a receptionist.
It's
so unclear to me.
And she has friends like Stassi's generally like dresses pretty well and has
yeah.
pretty good taste. And like, she's not around people that are completely devoid of any sort of like.
Kristen is like not my Kristen's favorite dresser,
neutral.
But she makes it work.
She's neutral.
Yeah. She's not like repeatedly offensive Mm-mm. with her outfits.
I just don't understand. I just don't understand. If she dressed for her body, she could look, she would be so fucking hot.
Yeah.
I might not even care that she's like a crazy person.
She has like a Kardashian body.
She should be dressing like Kim or something.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but she just has got to figure it out.
I don't know if she
beautiful.
Ever will. She
she's
needs
gorgeous.
A stylist.
She does.
She should really invest in that because I yeah. think it's just impossible for her to like get a good outfit going.
So crazy.
It's insane. This plain outfit was truly like that I've is. Never seen. That was maybe the most hideous outfit she's
when
ever
she's
worn.
She's wearing the right outfit and she's in the right waisted zone.
Mm-hmm.
She reminds me exactly of that woman from Wife Swap. The dark-sided lady. Like, she goes full dark-sided. Like, her eyes get crazy like that. And she has this, like, vicious, like, scary look on her face.
Yeah.
And when she's like sitting at just the right angle and she's acting just the right way, it's like that. And then the time that they were in like Sheena's mom's basement or whatever, when Sheena had that party and like, so she was getting in a, she was in a fight with,
oh my God. Yeah. She was in a fight. Wasn't she in a fight, like yelling at Ariana or something?
Yes.
And then Stassi wept on the floor.
These suck. When she was like, who's she talking about
then? Stassi threw,
she sucks.
Threw herself on the floor and was wail crying.
These suck. It was crazy. That scene and then this scene where she's on the hammock in Mexico, I was like, you're dark-sided.
You're dark-sided.
Full dark-sided.
She goes into a place where you're like, you are pure evil inside and out.
Yes.
There's nothing else to say.
It's inescapable.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's very Dorinda. It's like when Dorinda goes to this dark side where she's just saying the meanest thing she can possibly say.
And the outfits make it scarier because you're like, oh, yeah.
That's what I was trying to say. Like, I don't know how to connect the outfits to it, but it has to do with the outfit.
Yeah. Like, if she actually was dressed really well and looked really like, like all she would have to do, I think, to become like a more redeemable character on the show is like dress well and style herself appropriately. And then she could get away with being like a bitch because at least she'd be a really hot bitch. Mm-hmm. But instead, she chooses to wear this like striped romper jumpsuit with like a short sleeved
cardigan,
but like beige, a long beige,
long but short sleeved.
I'm like, I just like can't even describe it. It was so awful. Every outfit she's ever worn has been
such
bad.
The wrong move.
It's so, and if she could just get one thing right, she might, we might be able to get on her side. That's all I ask. Yeah. Just get a stylist for season 8.
You can
8.
Afford it.
You can afford it. It would pay it. Off. Trust.
100%.
That is the move. Because she's not going to change her behavior. Like, no, that's a lost cause.
But it could subtly change public opinion of her if all of a sudden people are like, she looks good this season.
Yeah, if she's just, like, serving it all the time, you can
you might
really,
forget.
Yeah, you would forget. Mm-hmm. Because that plain outfit, I can't.
Can we talk about Brittany's recurring dream as a child about Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
Where she says she was danging off of a railing. I'm danging off the brim.
I dream Santa Claus pushed me over the edge and I was danging off the edge, danging off the glass.
I was danging off of the glass ledge. Danging.
She's been on the brim her whole life.
She has been danging off of the brim her whole life.
She was born on the brim.
She was born danging off the brim. Like, there's no question. Santa. I had a recurring dream. And it sounds like it's a mall Santa.
Yeah. It's a mall Santa that then pushed her over the edge, which I feel like I would, I'm like going to go to my therapist next week and tell her this dream and ask what it means.
That's what I thought. I was like, I need to like figure out, like, I need to do some like dream interpretation and figure out what this means.
Yeah. Because dream interpretation really has more to do with like emotions that you feel than like actual iconography in the dream. There's some things like water and stuff can mean like emotions and whatever, but I need to know what danging off the edge.
Well, I need to know what Santa Claus pushing you off of something where you're danging off the edge means. What does that mean?
I go to therapy. I'm like, what does danging off
you're
the
like,
edge
I
mean
was
to you?
Danging off the edge. What do you think that means?
She's like, she's do like, you think you were dangling? And I'm like, no, danging.
I was specifically danging.
Santa Claus is like a patriarchal figure.
For sure. Yeah, I'm like, okay. So Santa Claus is like a fat white man, which like she's from Kentucky.
Yeah.
I'm sure she like sees a lot of people that look vaguely like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
No offense to people from Kentucky. No,
also, the colonel like, of KFC is like a Santa-esque like a character.
For sure. So her, it's like her life, the things that she sees every day, something subconsciously,
the ultimate,
this is a threat to her.
Yeah, but maybe it's also like the person you want the ultimate approval from, because it's either you're good or you're bad,
and you either get the things you want, which are toys,
or you get coal,
which is nothing.
Yeah, so you want Santa to like you, and you want the
and
male
you're
figure
so
in charge.
Afraid that Santa's not gonna like you, that you replay this scenario subconsciously over and over again, where the thing that you need the ultimate approval from rejects you.
Mm-hmm.
and says, no, you're not going to get it. And you're so afraid of not getting this approval that it like kills you, that you're going to die because yeah. you don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Because not only do you not get the approval, it's not like you just get coal. He pushes you.
He tries to kill you. He tries to kill you.
He makes an attempt on your life.
And you're just danging there. And
there you are, just danging off the ledge.
You're just danging there.
I understand now that she was probably trying to say dangling and hanging, but then she just said danging. But like, she would just danging off the edge.
I'm crying.
I do also think this dream is like a real daddy issues dream.
It's real daddy issues. It's very like patriarchy.
Yeah.
It's very like, I need approval. It's so important to me that I get approval from men.
Mm-hmm. Because her parents are divorced. She's a child of a broken
home.
Totally. This is a divorce dream. I guarantee it.
She's afraid, totally, of being rejected by her dad or that her dad doesn't love her, which ultimately then turns into any man that she ever has any sort of relationship with.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
When she and Jax broke up briefly, she was once again danging. She's just trying not to dang.
She was danging on a glass railing.
Yeah. And then she had to crawl. She had to make the choice to either fall and understand that it's going to be okay or crawl back over the ledge and go back to the person that threw you off the ledge in the first place.
I bet she still has that recurring dream because she's never let herself just fall off the ledge.
Yeah.
And if she let herself fall off the ledge and saw that she was okay.
Yeah. Know that she'll wake up at the end of it.
She wouldn't have to live the life that she's living.
Yeah. Damn. That's deep as fuck.
Wow.
I hope Brittany listens to this before she gets married.
I'm like only part of it because I did talk about how she's like... I mean, she's like, at this point, I used to love her and think that she was so cute. And now I'm like, you're a scammer.
No, she's a scammer for sure.
But I love her. If you're listening.
I love you, though. Hope this helps.
Love you. Thank you.
Jack says that he loves the hotel room because there's a lot of places to, quote, feed the hog. Which I was like,
pass.
I have no words. He's like, feed it. Like,
it was so
hungry.
Gross. And then as soon as that producer was like, what's that? I was like, don't
do it.
Don't let him do this.
Don't do that.
Stop it.
But they did it. And then we got a feed the hog is like, I can't even.
I'll never get those like 3 seconds of my life back.
No. Tom and Katie, I love to the editing of everyone going into their room and being like, I love this. Oh my God. And like the music's happening and like Tom and Ariana are like play fucking and like Jax and Brittany are danging and like getting in the room. And then like the music comes to an abrupt halt.
There has never been that long of a scene on Vanderpump Rules without music in the background, mm-hmm. ever.
Yeah.
And it made me, but it chilled me to the core. And yeah. I was like, I need more scenes of the show where there's no music in the background just to like see, like to get the real temperature of the room.
That was incredible.
It was beautiful filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. That deserves an Emmy nomination. Yeah,
it was amazing.
Yeah.
I could have watched that whole scene without anything under it.
It was so good. They immediately start fighting. Katie goes and wraps herself up in the hammock. And then she's like, I guess I'll just sleep here because this is as romantic as it's going to get, which just makes no sense.
That was like, was that supposed to be like a diss?
Yeah, I think so. And then they just have a fight that everyone can hear.
I love that when he's like, if we have neighbors right now, I feel really bad. Just cut to Tom and Ariana's.
They're like snuggling in their hammock, hearing everything. And also the cuts back and forth mm-hmm. were like in real time because yeah. you could hear like the fight still continued. And if you watch, which I recommend you do, rewatch the fight with subtitles because they subtitle everything that Tom and Ariana are hearing.
I love a subtitle.
So you can hear the whole fight. Like, yeah, you really get a sense of what's going down.
Ugh. I love when Katie goes, when he goes inside, he's like, I hate the way your voice sounds whenever he walks away. And she goes, okay, green pants.
Yeah. She's a child. She yeah. also cannot, like, they don't fight productively
at green all. Green pants.
Okay, whatever, green pants.
Green pants.
And then like,
Bubba, you're being a wet blanket.
Everything he says to her, she interrupts him mm-hmm. and just like talks over him. Then once they like tire of like trying to really talk over each other, get their point across, then they just start fucking attacking each other.
Because I hate the sound of your voice. Can you imagine if your partner fucking said that to you?
I would. We'd have no choice but to break up.
In the darkest, I'm just thinking like the worst fights I've ever had with my partner.
Never.
They ever said those words to me, I'd be like, well, great. You're never going to hear the sound of my voice again. And I'm fucking leaving.
Yeah.
And I'm never talking to you again.
Mm-hmm. We're done here.
You hate the sound of my voice so much, then you never have to hear it again.
Yeah. They take it to such like a dark, sad place.
And that's just like their, what's the word I'm looking for?
That's their neutral zone.
Yeah, that's just like standard for them.
Mm-hmm. Like it gets to the point, he makes a good, he goes, you have the EQ of a 14-year-old.
I love that. I was like, oh my God, I can't believe you said EQ.
I know. I was like, wait, you're a lot smarter than you.
I know. I forget that even though he's a manipulative alcoholic, he's smart.
Yeah.
He's not a total dum-dum.
No, he's not. He plays a
dum-dum because it gets him what he wants, but he's not a dum-dum.
And he's right. She mm-hmm. does have the EQ of a 14-year-old.
True that.
I'm like, you're married to each other. So like you're in this relationship for the long haul.
It doesn't help you
until
to be
like death do you part, essentially.
Yeah.
This person has just gotten a job.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, a person that's never had a job or a career, who is a true human TBD, now has a job that's going to afford you guys a nice lifestyle. Like, hopefully this job actually has more like career opportunities than your current job on this reality show.
Yeah.
Because you also don't run your blog anymore. And all you do is be on Vanderpump Rules. You're not ever going to get cast on another reality show.
I
hope that you don't think that, Katie Maloney, because it ain't never going to happen.
This is it for you. You're not a Lala. You're not a Sheena.
This is your one shot. So what happens for you after this? Like, what are you doing with your life? Nothing. What is Tom Schwartz doing? Somehow he failed into
somehow he's doing something with his
which
life.
Which is doing really great. And
it's going to be doing great for a considerable amount of time.
Yeah. And so he's going to have less time to like sit on the couch and eat like chili cheese dogs with you and like watch TV.
Friends.
Yeah. But like, thank God that someone's going to make some money so that you guys can like live for a long time. It's just shocking. I mean, it's shocking and not shocking, but it is shocking that she's like, miffed that they're still in the same situation that they were before they got
married.
And
once again, thank God.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. Happy to be watching.
Yeah.
But
I'm like,
guys,
honey,
marriage doesn't cure your problems.
Yeah. And like, you knew he's going to get this job, which is also like, he is going to be at a bar meeting tons of women all the time.
Yeah.
Like girls literally they line up
what
to take
think
pictures
he's gonna
with him.
Do?
Yeah. Like I mean
you met him?
This is not I'm just excited. I'm like, hey, let's do this.
Let's see
Game
what happens.
On.
Watch what happens.
Yeah.
I will be watching what happens.
I'm in.
I can't wait.
I'm all in.
Ugh,
then he tells she's like, you're a shitty husband. And he's like, well, I've been with a shitty wife for 7 years. And
that
like,
was the end to be continued.
It's like, damn, these people shouldn't be together, but if they're gonna be together,
at least I'm watching
let
it.
Let me watch it.
At least I get to see it.
Oh my God. Wow. We accomplished a lot tonight.
True that. True that.
I'm excited for next week and I haven't been excited in ages.
I know I haven't been excited for a long time. Thank God something's finally fucking happening.
Yeah.
I don't know what I would have done if I had to come and talk about an episode that was on like a month ago. I've just been like, eh.
It's been difficult.
Yeah, that's tough. I have sympathy for you.
Yeah. But you know what? The good news is there are other reality shows out there.
True that.
And other psychos.
When the fuck, speaking of, when is The Hills going to be on?
I don't know. I was like, I thought it was supposed to be on like yesterday.
I need it now.
I think it's not until like the summer maybe.
What the fuck?
Or maybe April. I don't know. Did they have a date?
I don't think so. I feel like I would know.
I need Misha.
I need Misha.
Yeah.
I need Misha on my television.
The Hills is going to be
I just don't see how it couldn't be back. I don't see how it can't be good.
Yeah.
I just don't.
I'm all in for the Hills.
I can't fucking wait.
Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh my gosh. Please. I had the time of my life.
I love having you on. I hope your tsunami theory.
Me too. I know.
Vanderpump Rules tsunami theory. You need to trademark that.
If the readers can like help me manifest that.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great. I need you to bully Carrie into making an Olivia Jade video and manifest tsunami theory.
Vanderpump Rules tsunami, season 8 tsunami theory.
That's what I ask of you.
Some people write theories of relativity. Alan Morse writes a season 8 VPR tsunami.
It's what I know best.
Yeah, it's good. Tell everyone where they can find you.
You can find me. You can find me on Instagram at Shelley Duvall's Bedtime Stories. I've been having to delete a lot because I find it so upset. Instagram just makes me want to die.
Instagram really,
it's like poison.
It's awful.
But I do go on when I have like fun stuff to promote or if I come up with like a funny thing.
Yeah.
So like, you know, I'm there.
I just need to unfollow everyone so that literally I have nothing everybody to look at.
And then I thought I unfollowed all the people that made me like feel bad about myself. And mm-hmm. then I realized that like even my friends make me feel bad about myself.
Yeah.
So like, I just don't, it's just a nightmare. It's tough. I've never like delete my account. I just delete the app off my phone, but that's where I'm at. I'm not on Twitter because I like myself.
Twitter really is kind of coming back into like a fun zone for me. I'm on neither. I've been pretty MIA from social media for a little bit, but like, yeah,
it's tough.
It's tough.
The social media of it all has been tough for me
mm-hmm.
as of late, but that is where you can find me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Goodbye.
I know I'm feeling.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.